Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Well, coming up over the next few weeks, there'll be a plethora of gigs culminating in the New Year's party. It's a big event with thousands of people turning up, spending lots of money and expecting a good time on the biggest night of the year. Tom Watts went along to find out what it takes to put on a successful New Year's Eve party.
Since the golden, muddy, trance-filled days of the gathering on Takaka Hill, the New Year's Eve music festival seems to have struck a chord with young New Zealanders. So as New Year's Eve festivals increase in size, it seems only fair to consider where they've come from and how they've changed. One person who's seen this development more than most is Hamish Pinkham, director for New Zealand's largest New Year's Eve music festival, Rhythm and Vines.
We started a couple of years after the glory days of the gathering, and post the success of the gathering, there was really a bit of a lull in terms of options for New Zealanders to celebrate the new year, and we found all our friends were heading over to Sydney for their Kiwi summers, and Tom and I thought, shit, it'd be a great idea to organise something here in New Zealand, obviously not to the scale it is today initially, but we thought, let's get together a couple of hundred mates, let's get some friends' bands performing. Hey, if we all chuck in $100 each, we might be able to get a semi-decent act and a couple of good DJs to play for us. So that was the original vision.
One of those semi-decent acts is Shapeshifter, who will be playing at midnight at the sold-out Coromandel Gold Festival in Whitianga. This is Shapeshifter MC P. Diggs. You started playing it with Shapeshifter in 2003.
Officially, yeah.
Yes. All right. Unofficially, yeah. For a lot longer.
Yeah, well, the first time I actually jammed with them was 2000 at The Gathering. Good old Gathering.
So how long have you actually been playing New Year's shows with Shapeshifter?
Pretty much the first one was then. The Gathering, 1999, 2000. Had a jam then, but, pretty much every New Year since then. But with Shapeshifter, we've been steadily rocking New Year's 2003, 2004.
We're kind of in 2010 now. We've got heaps of New Year's shows.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, it seems like they're kind of getting bigger and bigger. I mean, we've got Rhythm and Vines, we've got Coro Gold, there's Mardi Da, you know, Detonate for the tougher people. Have you noticed a change over the years?
Yeah, they've gotten better. They're better organised. You know. That's the downfall. A lot of festivals is they're just shabby organisation, and you just don't really get looked after and loved. But you know, the artists that go there, they're just usually so happy to play their music to people. So you just deal with it. But I must admit, over the years, things have gotten more organised. You actually get paid. It helps. We actually get paid these days. So there are a lot more, like you're saying before. It's almost like, I guess we're just a nation that loves music. It's a good thing.
You know, you're right. There's other concerts popping up all over the place. I mean, I think the market's growing. I think people want to go to a festival for New Year's now. They want to. It's a time of year you want to let your hair down. You want to be with your friends. You want to check out some great music.
Do you think there's room for more New Year's festivals?
No, well, it's getting, you know, I mean, we've got three shows. I wouldn't define them all as festivals. You know, the other New Year's shows are more concerts to me. I mean, see, Rhythm, the festival experience is, you know, the multi-day, multi-genre. And I think, yeah, there is an opportunity to New Zealand to develop those products further. But the New Year's period is, it is saturated. It's even though the shows are all selling well, I think there's only a limited audience in New Zealand. And I mean, the rates that we're all growing, I think it'll be pretty ballsy to try and put something else into the market.
Is it getting harder to book acts and those kind of things?
Well, I think Rhythm Vines is different. In fact, we're dealing with international talent. We're part of some of the booking touring circuits in Australasia. So we're a bigger show as well, so I guess we've got bigger performance budgets, and we can we can sustain some of the bigger shows, such as the Mobys and the NERDs and the Franz Ferdinands. But locally it's getting competitive. There's Kiwi acts are in high demand, and they're not cheap either, so It is difficult. I mean, Rhythm and Vines is great in the fact we go over 3 days, so we can book some of this talent that's maybe already got New Year's Eve bookings.
Right, so
we can host them 29th, 30th.
Right, so any idea doing that this year, yeah?
No, I'm more thinking of the likes of, say, Holly Smith, performing with us on the 29th, and then she's down in La-Di-Da.
Right.
There's other acts, yeah, such as Bulletproof. He's playing with us on the 29th, and then he's in Nelson at FAT. So, I encourage that as well. I think it's great. I mean, these musicians need to be performing. They need to be playing in front of as many people as possible, and it's great now that there's a live music industry that can sustain, their profession.
What's your favourite song to play at midnight?
We actually did Twin Galaxies last time, and it was a cracker. It went off really well, just mainly because it's like a kind of, it's an emotional one. It's an emotional ringer. Takes you on a wee bit of a journey, but it's kind of it's a powerful song. Like we were saying before, we've done quite a few New Years, so we've been able to choreograph it and get it right, get the time right, timing right. Like last year when we played New Year's for Coromandel Gold, we actually got our set list ready, wrote all the set down, and like, okay, we'll start here. As long as everything goes according to plan, right here should be when you say, okay, stop.
Right.
We got 30 seconds to go, and we were like, almost right on the money. It was pretty cool.
So, I mean, so for the actual, like, midnight on stage, you don't ever kind of... I mean, are you wearing a watch so you know when it is midnight?
We've worked that one out. I have a watch, and we also have a big watch, and we have a signal guy, our lighting visual guy. He's sitting right next to Tikitane, who'll be doing the mix for us, and... they'll either do a flash of the torch on their face, or there'll be a little call over the mic. Diggs, 30 seconds. Diggs a minute. But I'm also, you know, around that time, it's business time, so we've got to be on our toes, so everyone's real conscientious of what the heck's going down and where we're running. We're just pulling poker faces and pretending we're in the, this is just cruising. But we're well and truly...
Right, totally. So you've never actually had, like, New Year's Eve at actually 5 minutes past midnight?
Who's to say? Who's to know, really? Probably a couple of minutes early one time, I think. Oh, no. Just after, I think. Yeah, yeah. But, hey, we're all together. There's usually a big crowd, so regardless of the rest of the world, we're our own little world.
That's right. You make your own New Year's.
Yeah, there's often a situation that happens, but I think when you're at a festival, everyone is... playing by our rules, you know. I mean, we've had slight delays in the past due to production difficulties, but hey, when the fireworks are going off and the clock counts down to midnight, I don't think anyone's the wiser, so we get to call it, really. But we are proud of the fact we're the first place in the world to bring in the new year, and that's something that I think the festival stands for, and something we need to do justice to, and that's why we spend a great deal of our program and production budget on that New Year's show, something memorable and fitting for such an occasion.
That report from Tom Watts. After the break, we look at the year in culture with Craig Runapier and present our pick for Christmas #1 from Avalanche City.